Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Cow's milk can be very inflammatory. It can cause eczema, allergies, gut issues, acne because of this A1 casein. But if you switch to goat and dairy, it's better and it's better tolerated. Hey everyone, it's Dr. Mark. Now, I know a lot of you out there are healthcare practitioners like me, helping patients heal using real food and functional medicine as the framework for getting to the root cause of the issues. Now, in my practice, this often means looking at lots of internal variables to find the most effective path to optimize health and reverse disease. But up until now, that meant we were usually ordering tests for one patient from multiple labs. Now, I'm sure many of you can relate to how time-consuming and complicated lab ordering can be for functional medicine practitioners like me and our patients. That's why I love using Rupa Health. With just a few clicks, I can order from 30-plus lab companies. That's over 3,000 tests for free in one single portal. That means one invoice for all labs paid online up front. Plus, patients get practitioner pricing and receive full patient support through easier, personalized collection instructions, automated follow-up, super bills, and answers to testing questions, and so much more. Just go to rupahealth.com, that's rupahealth.com, to sign up for your free account today. When I was just starting my medical journey as an ER doc and family doc, magnesium was a critical element of our care. We used it to treat all kinds of things, from arrhythmia to constipation to preeclampsia, which is high blood pressure in pregnancy. It turns out that magnesium is critically important outside of the emergency room too. In fact, it's one of the most important minerals for all aspects of our health. It participates in over 300 to 600 different biochemical reactions in your body, and yet over 80% of the population doesn't get the amount of magnesium they need from their diet alone. And that's why I'm such a big advocate of Bioptimizers. Their magnesium breakthrough supplement is the only supplement on the market that offers the full spectrum of all 7 types of magnesium, specifically formulated to reach every tissue in your body to provide maximum health benefits. Bioptimizers is offering my community 10% off, so just head over to magbreakthrough.com/Hyman with the code Hyman10. That's magbreakthrough.com/Hyman with the code Hyman10 at checkout. And now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy. Welcome to Doctor's Pharmacy. I'm Dr. Mark Hyman, a place for conversations that matter. And if you've ever heard that dairy might be good for you and you should have 3 glasses of milk a day, or maybe dairy is the devil and you should avoid it at all costs, well, you're going to find this podcast very interesting because we're going to dive deep into dairy. And I'm going to talk about all the misinformation, the science, what we know, what we don't know, and what you should be doing with regards to dairy intake in your diet. Despite the fact that the government says to eat 3 glasses of milk a day or to drink 3 glasses of milk a day for adults and 2 for kids, there's really no scientific basis for that. And we're going to get into the details of that. Now, today's podcast is part of our little series called Health Bites, small bits of information that can help you live a longer, healthier life by taking small actions every day. And I think this one's going to be an important one for you. So if I handed you a beverage, right, that would cause you to gain weight, cause bloating, acne, gas, allergies, eczema, make your bones brittle, maybe even cause cancer, would you drink it? Would you chug 3 cups of that liquid every day and give 2 cups to your children? Well, probably not. Yet that's exactly what the federal government tells us to do, and that milk is the perfect food for Americans, and they should drink it daily, 3 glasses to be exact, in spite of a large and growing body of research that shows its lack of benefits and potentially awful side effects. Now, I agree, it is nature's perfect food, but only if you're a calf, okay? So even though milks today, cow's milk particularly, contains dozens of reproductive hormones, allergenic proteins, antibiotics, growth factors, growth hormone like bovine growth hormone, some of which, by the way, are known to promote cancer, the dairy industry wants us to believe that their cows are happily producing milk and grazing through green pastures. For the most part, it couldn't be further from the truth. So today we're going to talk about why dairy is such a contentious food, how to tackle the pros and cons of whether it belongs in your diet, and maybe which dairy is okay to eat. Now, here's the truth. Now, I wrote a book called Food Fix where I went deep into the machinations of the food industry, the collusion between government and the food industry. And by the way, you know, there's a lot of revolving doors. So people from the Dairy Council work for the government and go back to work for the Dairy Council. And it's kind of a mess. Now, big dairy is really behind the headlines that milk is good for you. It's a $47 billion a year industry. It's one of the most influential food lobbyists on Capitol Hill. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, which is a nonpartisan group that tracks money in politics, the dairy industry gave nearly $46 million to politicians between 1990 and 2016. In 2015, the committee of scientific experts that shapes the dietary guidelines included two members with financial ties to big dairy. Furthermore, the dairy industry spent millions of dollars funding studies that claim that milk offers benefits like weight loss, improved health, and stronger bones. Now, I'll just tell you a quick story. Years ago, I was on Martha Stewart's television show, which no longer exists. And we were talking about optimal performance and health, and I was one of the experts. Now, when you're an expert on a TV show, you don't get cue cards. You got to know your stuff. And you got to just say what you got to say when you got to say it. Now, there was a trainer that she had. I think it was her trainer that was also on the show. And when I talked to the producer, he was telling about the segment, and he said, well, we're going to talk about how dairy is this great sports drink. And I said, wait a minute. Where are you getting that information? He says, well, I said, listen, here, let me send you a bunch of papers. So I went through PubMed, and I sent him all the papers showing that this is not true. And I also showed him the papers that said it was true, but they were all funded by the Dairy Council. Now, when a food industry organization or agency or a council funds a study, it's 8 to 50 times more likely to show a positive benefit. In other words, if Coca-Cola does a study on soda, it's going to find that it doesn't cause obesity. Or if the Dairy Council does a study on milk, it's going to find it's good for your bones and it's good for exercise and everything else. But actually, it's pretty frightening. So anyway, I was in this show, and the trainer had these cue cards by the camera. There were these giant cue cards which had all the talking points, which were all wrong about why dairy is a perfect post-workout food. And I was like, whoa, why are you doing this? She said, well, the producer said, well, the Dairy Council is funding the segment of the show. And I was just flabbergasted. So we think we're getting straight up information. We're just not. First of all, we need to know this. The whole Got Milk campaign, you know, the mustache thing where you had all the, you know, Health and Human Services Secretary, all the athletes, all the celebrities, you know, wearing the milk mustache. That was funded in part by the government, something called the Checkoff Program, and the Dairy Council. And it was promoting all these claims like it's great for your bones and it's great for this and it's great for that, but it's not. And so the Federal Trade Commission actually made them take the ads off the air and out of magazines. That's why you don't see them anymore, because there was no scientific basis for the claims and it was false advertising. So this is the government literally funding millions of dollars to tell us stuff that wasn't scientifically true. So anyway, the bottom line here is that milk is not good for your bones and you don't need milk for strong bones. Everybody knows we need milk for stronger bones, right? That's what we're taught. Drink your milk, grow big and strong and tall. You need calcium. And without it, children won't grow up to be big and strong. Adults will get hip fractures, and most people would be getting osteoporosis, and their bones will crumble to dust as they age. But there's absolutely no evidence that we need milk to strengthen our bones. And for example, countries with the lowest milk consumption have the lowest rates of osteoporosis and fractures, while those with the highest dairy consumption and calcium have the highest rates of fractures. How do you make sense of that? In one study, they found that those who drank more milk had a higher risk of fractures. So that it's a bit concerning to me. It's good for your kids, right? I mean, we now force kids to have milk. If you want to have a school lunch program, you have to serve milk. And most of it's sugary milk, which is basically like a soda and milk together. And it's mandated by the government that in public schools, we have to have milk. But you know, kids can't get their federal school lunch money unless they give, I'm sorry, the schools can't get their federal school lunch money unless they give every kid milk. But there's no evidence that it's true. In fact, they're also giving them low fat milk, which is even worse because low fat milk actually causes them to gain more weight because it makes them not feel satisfied or full from the fat. Also, milk is a lousy source of calcium. The studies are pretty clear on this. There's nothing special about dairy and bone health. In fact, vitamin D that you get with milk, that's added to the milk. It's not actually naturally in milk, believe it or not. They put it in there to prevent rickets, which is a good thing, but still, it's not where we get vitamin D. The amount of calcium everybody needs is actually far less than the levels recommended in the United States. It's not actually the total calcium intake that matters, but how much you actually keep. For example, you know, in Africa, they might have 300 milligrams of calcium intake in their diet, but they have very good bones and strong health, but they only lose maybe 200 milligrams of calcium. So their net is 100 milligrams of calcium a day. Whereas in America, we might take in 1,500 milligrams, but we might lose 1,600 or 1,700 milligrams because of all of our bad habits. For example, if you smoke cigarettes, if you eat sugar, if you drink soda, which has phosphoric acid, it's like leaches out your bones. Actually, oh my God, I was buying some ribs for a barbecue we were having the other day at my local butcher. And I said, well, how do you kind of make them? What do you do? He says, well, first you want to soak the ribs in Coca-Cola. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, because it helps dissolve the fibers and soften up the meat and get it off the bone. And I'm like, wow, okay. I don't think I want to do that. Also, stress causes you to lose calcium, caffeine, alcohol, excess salt, all cause us to lose calcium. We're doing a lot of things, plus being sedentary causes us to lose calcium. So we live a lifestyle that causes calcium loss. We got to stop that. So we need to also think about not just how much we're taking in, but how much we're losing. Next, we need to think about where can we get calcium from in our diet besides milk?
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And in fact, you can get a lot of calcium from things that don't have hormones, that don't have allergens, that don't have all kinds of antibiotics in them, and all kinds of crap. So let's talk about, for example, how some common foods stack up to about 4 ounces of cow's milk, which is about 138 milligrams of calcium. First of all, sesame seeds, a quarter cup of sesame seeds. Tahini is an amazing thing. You can make dressing out of it. I make like miso tahini dressing I put on my vegetables. So there's lots of ways to include tahini and sesame seeds, but a quarter cup has 351 milligrams, which is almost, I'm not good with math, but more than twice the amount that milk has. Sardines, a little can of sardines has, with the bones, which sounds weird, but you can actually eat the bones, has 350 milligrams of calcium. Tofu, which is 3.5 ounces, has 350 milligrams of calcium. Yogurt, which is obviously dairy, but you can get it from sheep or goat, has 96 milligrams. Collard greens, which, by the way, these may be better utilized and absorbed by the body, has about 268 milligrams. Spinach has 245 milligrams in a cup. Cheese, which is another dairy product, has a little less, 204. Sockeye salmon, 3 ounces with the bones in them, 188 milligrams. Almonds, dry roasted, have a 2 ounces, have about 150. So basically, from 2 ounces of almonds, you get more calcium than you will from milk. Also, chia seeds are another great source of calcium and have way more calcium than milk than you can get from milk. And by the way, it turns out that it's vitamin D that's the most important for actually helping our bones, not so much calcium. Milk also may increase your risk of cancer. Now, in a very important editorial in JAMA Pediatrics in 2013, two of the leading nutrition scientists in the world from Harvard, David Ludwig and Walter Willett, called out the federal government for advising 3 cups daily of low-fat milk for most Americans. These are not kind of radical vegans. These are people who work at the top levels of academia who've done extraordinary amounts of research and basically are saying, hey, we got it all wrong about dairy. As we talked about earlier, milk doesn't promote bone health. Dr. Willett and Dr. Ludwig noted that it actually may promote cancer. That's because milk contains a witch's brew of hormones that may act like Miracle-Gro for cancer cells. For example, the average glass of milk contains 60 different hormones. Now, these are not necessarily hormones that are added to the milk, but think about, what is milk? It's basically a growth food. It's designed to grow babies and grow cows, and it's got all these growth factors and growth hormones in it, anabolic hormones, but it also doesn't just cause your body to grow when you're little, it actually causes cancer cells to grow. So it's kind of bad news. It also increases something called IGF-1, which is a known cancer promoter, insulin-like growth factor 1. It's also associated with kidney disease, diabetes, heart disease. And lower levels of people with IGF-1 actually live longer and have lower rates of cancer. But milk pushes your levels of IGF-1 in the wrong direction. So may have cancer links, maybe increase to prostate cancer and other cancers as well. Also, dairy fat may not be the issue, right? The fat from dairy isn't the issue. It's the casein and the other hormonal compounds in the milk. The government guidelines basically say that we shouldn't really tell people to drink milk, but they specifically recommend low fat or fat free versions because of a longstanding misguided view that saturated fat is the boogeyman for heart disease. Now, saturated fat actually may be really good for some people, although maybe not others, but for most people, it's actually okay, particularly people with metabolic issues, diabetes, and so forth. And there's been, you know, troves of research that showed that it's not the boogeyman we thought it was. And actually, the dairy fat may be better. In fact, there was an article called Butter is Back in one of the major medical journals, I think American Journal of Cardiology, where they actually, and I'll get into that in a minute, show that it was actually quite helpful for people with diabetes and prevention and so forth. But there was a big review of saturated fat. And I wrote a lot about this in my book, Eat Fat, Get Thin. So if you want to learn more about it, you can go ahead and read that book. But there was a huge landmark review published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, one of the major medical journals in 2014, that looked at 72 of the most rigorous studies on dietary fat and heart disease, including 24 randomized controlled trials, which are hard to do, and also population studies, blood studies. And they found that saturated fat and total fat consumption have very little effect to no effect on heart disease. They found that actually trans fat was a bad one, but that was for sure bad. So we don't want trans fat. But they found that actually people having the fats from dairy actually had lower cardiovascular risk. Also, other studies have shown this as well for diabetes. Those with higher levels of the saturated fat from dairy, which is a different kind of saturated fat, actually have lower risks of diabetes. So, you know, butter's had a terrible reputation because it's basically just animal fat. Most of it's saturated. Not all of it, by the way. Most foods are mixed fat. So monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, saturated. And the government tells us not to eat butter, right? But about 60% of the fats are saturated fat, 20% monounsaturated, and the rest are poly. But, you know, I think butter is not the enemy number one like we thought it was. It doesn't mean you should eat butter as much as you want. It's fine to eat it like our grandparents did, have a little butter, have grass-fed butter. It's fine. It has better fats. It has antioxidants. It has more carotenoids. It has a higher source of CLA, which is an important conjugated linoleic acid, which boosts your metabolism and may help prevent cancer and heart disease. So have a little butter, enjoy it, track your numbers. But some people are super responders to saturated fat. I may be one of them. So there are people who are thin, lean athletes tend to get more saturated fat response for some reason. I think it's genetic. You're going to have it on your veggies. Also, be aware that saturated fat plus sugar and starch are a bad combo. So butter on your veggies, put on your fish, protein, no problem. Mixing it with carbs and sugar, not a good idea. So butter and bread, bad idea. Also, if you're going to eat dairy, what should you eat? And let's talk about it. Grass-fed is really important. And the reason is because, one, it doesn't have the antibiotics, the hormones, and it has higher levels of phytochemicals in it, better fatty acid composition, more antioxidants. So, you know, it's not only what you eat that matters, it's what you're eating has eaten, right? So cows graze on the natural diet of grass, they produce milk and meat with better fat composition and nutrients than those fed corn and grain and soy. So if you're going to consume butter or dairy products, remember that grass-fed is important, or regenerative, even better. Organic dairy is somewhere in the middle, right? Because organic could be not grass-fed. They could just feed it organic corn or organic soy. And also they might have some pasture in their diet, but basically most of their diet comes from organic grains and feed that are, you know, better because they're free of pesticides, herbicides, antibiotics, and has more omega, better 6-to-3 ratio, but it's still not great because they can actually milk organic cows while they're pregnant, which adds way more hormones and all the natural hormones that are in milk. There's, you know, things you can actually use like probiotic rich dairy, kefir, yogurt. They're better actually, in terms of tolerance and digestion. Also, you can use ghee or clarified butter, which basically takes all the milk solids, all the casein, all the whey, and it can be used by people who are even allergic to dairy. So organic grass-fed ghee is great. It's basically like the Indian form of butter, and has lots of nutrients, higher smoke point, and it's great for high heat cooking. Now, I don't really recommend eating that much cow dairy. Now, there's an important thing to recognize. There's different kinds of casein in dairy products. There's A1 casein, A2 casein. Now, A1 casein is what most modern cows have. This is an inflammatory form of casein. That's the protein in milk. And that tends to be linked to more of the issues around milk. A2 casein is from more of the heirloom cows. I think Jersey cows, Guernsey cows have more A2 casein. And there are dairy products like ice creams and others you can get from A2 cows, but they're really hard to find. And that's better for you. But goat and sheep dairy products are far better tolerated, have less inflammatory potential, and have primarily A2 casein. So I'd encourage people to switch over. And I, for example, I can't tolerate regular dairy because I get congested, stomach issues. If I have goat or sheep, I'm fine. Goat cheese, sheep cheese, goat yogurt, no problem. So cow's milk can be very inflammatory. It can cause eczema, allergies, gut issues, acne because of this A1 casein. But if you switch to goat and dairy, it's better, and it's better tolerated. Also, the goat's milk has high levels of medium chain triglycerides, which help metabolism, brain function, has higher levels of vitamin A, which is great for your skin. And people have more A2 casein, tend to not have as much of the GI symptoms, have less inflammatory biomarkers, they have better cognitive function. So goat or sheep milk can be a great alternative. So what should you look for when you're buying dairy? Well, make sure you look for certain certifications that make sure the animals are produced in an ethical manner, right? Animal welfare approved, certified humane, American Humane certified, Food Alliance certified, Global Animal Partnership. These are ways to sort of, you know, find sources of dairy that are better for you. So what is possible to eat for dairy? Well, I recommend that people avoid, for the most part, cow dairy unless it's A2 cows that are regeneratively raised. And even then, some people still have trouble with cow dairy. But a little bit here and there is fine. If you want to have grass-fed, full-fat, unsweetened yogurt, that's okay. Ideally, sheep or goat is better. Kefir is another way to have a dairy product. You can get goat or sheep kefir. Whole milk, grass-fed cheese, again, better goat or sheep with no additives. Grass-fed ghee or butter is fine. And if you can get them goat or sheep, I would highly recommend that. What should you avoid? Well, dairy from conventionally raised cows, skim milk, 2% milk, low-fat milk, low-fat yogurt, non-fat yogurt, yogurt that has fruit, sweetener additives, or anything extra. In fact, you know, Yoplait, which is one of the sort of sweetened yogurts, that has more sugar per ounce than a can of Coca-Cola. So it's really bad for you. Don't have that thing you think is healthy, which is your sweetened yogurt in the morning. Avoid the cheeses and so forth made with skim or reduced fat milk. The fat is actually the good part. Also, no processed cheese. I mean, it's not even called cheese. I mean, there's something called, you know, Kraft American slices. They can't call it cheese because it's less than 50% cheese. It's a cheese-like substance. And obviously don't eat cheese that comes in a spray can or a squeeze bottle or some weird industrial cheese product. So anyway, that's the story on dairy. Definitely don't need it. If you want to consume it, try sheep or goat. Realize it's not nature's perfect food. It doesn't help your bones. It may cause cancer. And there's a lot of reasons to just avoid it. So again, sheep or goat is fine. Try it. See how you feel. Your body is the best indicator of what works and what doesn't. Your body's the smartest doctor in the room. So that's it for today's Health Bite. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please share your thoughts about dairy. We'd love to hear from you, how it's worked for you, how it's not, what you found from different kinds of dairy, how it affects you. We'd love to know. Share this with your friends and family, and we'll see you next time on The Doctor's Pharmacy. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do, and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter, and in it, I share my favorite stuff. From foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter, and I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.